Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Ehrlich. How are you? Good morning again.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, good. So we are good to go. I'm going to put Adrian on in a few minutes, but Jesse is calling in. I just want to touch base with him, and then I'll put Adrian on. So hang on.
Okay.
So I'll come in for the music again.
Yes, this is
Hello?
Linda. Hi,
yes, Jesse. Hi. Okay, so Jesse, you're on. I'm gonna let you listen in. Adrian's gonna prep the call, but you won't be able to speak on air, Jesse. I'm just putting you on listen mode. Okay. Okay, good. So Adrian's coming over right now, and she'll prep with Dr. Ehrlich, and we'll be all set to go. So hang on 1 second for Adrian.
Hello, Dr. Ehrlich. How are you?
Hi, Adrian. I'm just great.
Great. I just will tell you how this goes. It's so simple. It's really just a dialogue, and I know how much you're a media person, so it'll be nothing for you. We have 4 segments. At the end of each one, I know they're ending. So if you hear me talking a little bit, it's because I don't want you to get cut off. We start with the music and a little introduction of the show, and then I will get into happiness as an option. I'll talk about ever-widening circles. I'll talk about what's going on in the holiday season, Zooming, the internet dilemma, and all of the things that I know you have no trouble talking about. Okay?
Great. I'm delighted. Do I sound
now,
okay?
I am very, very good. Very good.
Great.
I also always ask, there's one thing that you want to bring out. What would it be? The thing that at the end you said, oh, I didn't say that, so I could make sure that you do get the opportunity to say it.
Yeah, my TED Talk just launched last night. I have a terrific TEDx talk that just came out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're certainly going to start with that because it's probably the catalyst to a lot of our conversation. Now,
where do you want
me to send people to ever-widening circles, or where do you want me to send them to?
Yeah,
okay.
everwideningcircles.com is the best.
Great. And where are you right now? Where are you physically?
Well, I'm talking to you from about an hour south of Montreal, just across the border in Vermont.
Oh, Montreal. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it's in Vermont, but I always give people a heading by saying an hour south of Montreal.
Well, it's Montreal is classy. So that's a good place. I love it. In fact, I'm hanging a painting. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm having a painting hung today by a guy named Philippe Petit, who is a Montreal artist, and I found him at the Montreal Art Fair. I mean, it's a fabulous city. If I could ever be allowed to travel there again. But that's a different story.
that's a different story.
Right. So the only thing I did want to tell you was how we use this, and I think Jesse is listening.
Okay.
So he's probably as interested as you are. We do a variety of things. We put it on our own Generation Bold Adrian Berg website in the front with your picture, mm-hmm. and we archive it there. So it stays there forever starting probably tomorrow. Okay.
Okay.
But it's heard on some actual stations on BizTalk Radio and a few places, and whenever they want to play it, which is usually 10 o'clock Sunday mornings Eastern Time. But the main mm-hmm. thing I also do is I have it on all the podcast disseminators, which you know, the iTunes and the Stitchers
Great.
And all that. And the other thing, I make for you and Jesse, like a 2-minute excerpt from what you've said. And it lights up. Every time you speak, it's audio, but every time you speak a word, mm-hmm. it lights up. It's a little gimmick that they have for podcasters. And this goes to you, and you can actually put that on your social media as a video.
Oh,
so
lovely.
It's not
lovely.
So it's fun because you speak the light, the words light up, and you can put it on YouTube. It's a video. It turns your words into a video, basically. Then I've got my own social media, which is very heavily LinkedIn, by the way, not Facebook. Just
okay.
People want to know who really sees it, and that's pretty vibrant.
Yeah.
And the rest of it
Good.
Is up to you. We do not sell this. This is not. We have no pay for play guests. Our what we want from our guests is that they tell people that we're here,
gotcha.
So that they were on.
Okay.
And they promote it in their own way, however they
of
promote.
Course.
And you are a champion. All right. So I'm ready to rock and roll and be happy. How about you?
Oh, me too.
Good. All right, Stuart. Okay, very, very good. Good. Okay, go ahead. Yes,
yeah. When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? The Fountain of Truth about aging. And I am happy today to have you with me. You'll see what I mean by that with precision in a minute when I introduce our wonderful guest, Dr. Ulrich, who is actually the author of Happiness is an Option. And I'm going to send you to a place that may change your life, and that's called Ever Widening Circles. But first, I want to give you a little bit of a build-up to this. You know that I choose my topics for you. I hear from you on my website, adrienneberg.com. You contact me, you say, I want to hear about this. Well, I'm doing this show for you, but honestly, I'm doing it for me. You know, if you have my newsletter, which you get for free, at adrienneberg.com, that I have moved cross-country. And I actually want our guest, Dr. Ulrich, to hear this as well. And why did I do that? I did it to be near family. I also did it to have much more financial freedom, and because at age 73, I'm beginning to continue my trips around the world and speak everywhere about successful aging. But I never realized, and I'm saying this to Dr. Ulrich, about leaving my friends behind. I Zoom. And, of course, I love the telephone, and I'm on the air, and I've got a newsletter every week. So how can I stay out of touch? I mean, it sounds easy, right? Breezy. Well, I can tell you something. I really did leave them behind. I've hardly spoken to them in the last 2 or 3 weeks since I got to California, and I'm not happy about it. So I want to talk to a doctor who, is, if you go to Ever Widening Circles, you will learn how to stay in touch. If you read her book, and she has more than one, about happiness being an option, you'll see that you're in control of your own future and your own feelings. But I know this, you know this, but how do we do it? So, Dr. Ulrich, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you. I'm super delighted to have this conversation.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a very real conversation. Now, I'm jealous, I'm going to tell you right off, because you are a TED Talk star, and I'm not. We'll let that pass. We'll discuss this, you know, offline, but you are. And I know that you're also truly excited about the fact that you're getting your word out in this way. So I want you to do two quick things. One, explain what TED Talks are. Many people don't know. I'm a devotee. They actually send me every day what I should be listening to in TED Talk. So I'm impressed by this. But second of all, what your TED Talk was about.
Well, this is one of the upsides to the internet for sure, is this dissemination of knowledge that we can all celebrate. And TED.com is an amazing place on the internet that is specifically designed for people that have a curious mind, who are interested in celebrating what's right with the world, and you can find so much information there. So TED.com is actually a great place to go for peace of mind. It's set up on the internet so that we can all kind of dial into the things that float our boat and at the same time discover things that we never thought would bring joy. And
I just want to tell everybody, it's called Ideas Worth Sharing. So you can imagine that there's a lot of ideas out there not worth sharing. But Dr. Ulrich's idea, they thought was worth sharing. And you were asked to be, yes, you said, the closing speaker?
Yeah, so I was a closing speaker for a TEDx conference, which are sort of privately produced TED conferences of a smaller version usually than the main TED conference. And this one is a very important one done in Naperville, Illinois, for the last 12 years. And my talk is just happened two weeks ago, so I can't say I'm a TED star yet. But the talk was just launched on the TED.com YouTube channel last night, and it is growing really fast. Exposing the Conspiracy of Goodness.
Interesting. Now,
yeah,
of course, the idea is very intriguing.
Yeah.
Tell me how that relates to your body of work, which has to do with happiness, the internet, connectivity. How does that topic relate to that?
Well, you know, we have so much negativity going on in the world these days. And ever-widening circles, I started ever-widening circles in 2014 with the mission to change the negative dialogue about our time. So things were starting to go south quite some time ago. And that's what we do. We're pointing to all the things that are going on that are good in the world that almost no one knows about because the way our online lives are so, so negative now.
And you can tell that by reading tweets and posts and see what people follow. But yes, I would say negativity started maybe around the Iron Age when one guy had a hammer and the other guy didn't. So, you know, this is not an easy code to crack. Happiness. And in your book, Happiness is an Option, the title tells that one. There, the title tells it all. But we don't think so. We think things happen to us. So again, is that pie in the sky kind of, you know, self-talk? Or why are you saying happiness is in that control?
Okay, so you touched on a great point by mentioning the Iron Age. We could go back even further than the Stone Age. You know, one of the best impulses we've got going on in our brain is this always on part of our brain that's looking for things, signs of danger and disorder. So that kept us really safe in a world that was physically very, very perilous hundreds of thousands of years ago. But that part of our brain is still on now, sort of unconsciously seeking signs of disorder and danger around us, which when we haven't quite sorted out how that works, in something as powerful and pervasive as the internet, it can give us no end to the heartbreak and fear.
Now, in your experience, because you are almost, I'd say, a connoisseur, the way people can be a sommelier about wine, you look at the internet and what people are posting and how people are connecting, and you can vet that for positive, for negative, for what's going on in the world. And is that truly what you're seeing, that posts, not just the posts, but how people respond to them is mostly in the negative, and that's one of the things that are making us upset each day.
So what I think is that our brain is always searching, and that can be a good thing, for signs of disorder, and what we give our attention to expands. That's just kind of a law of how our brain works too. And what I really think happened, Adrian, is that the internet sort of expanded so fast that we never got any rules of the road there. And everyone's sort of using their online life without any rules. And of course, that's going to favor. And now we know that social media in particular is designed to trigger our fear and scarcity and anger, fitting in a system where we're running on autopilot. We're going to sort of get what we get. But my book is about the fact that this is simple. we can just sort of wake up to the fact that the internet is what it is and start making conscious choices there.
You know, when we come back, we're going to talk about how to make those conscious choices. And also, if we go to ever-widening circles, what we'll find there to sustain some of the good changes that we might be able to make. And you should know that although Dr. Ulrich said she's not yet a TED star, she's an Amazon star. A number one in her book is number one in many categories, including the internet. So I'm going to tell you that we can be in control, but I'm going to end with a little bit of a joke. I actually had an aunt who, anytime you would ask her, how are you? She'd say, well, I woke up, didn't I? So, you know, certain things should make you happy on a seminal existential level. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to bring that into your life instead of the negativity and how I can use things other than Zoom to start really keeping in touch with the friends I've left behind. Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Oh, this is so good, so rich in content. We're going to go back. I do want to start with, because, you know, it's not enough just to talk to you. I really want them to go to ever-widening circles of what they'll find there.
And I'll do more there.
Whether you see this as a discipline. But again, I'm going to ask you, is there one other thing? So we talked about the TED Talk. Is there anything else that, as we're talking, you really want to make sure the audience knows?
Well, I want them to know that going to ever-widening circles is sort of like exercise or eating right. You can hope for outcomes, but you actually have to execute some seek. Wait, maybe this is it. Have
right.
you know about the four shifts, right?
Yes, I
the
do.
The pause. Yeah. So that's the number one thing I really want to get time to explain is the
Great.
Four shifts.
Great. Then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
No problem. We're here. Go ahead, Sue. We're ready. Now we have to be quiet for 10 seconds or 20 seconds.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And around now in my show, I give you a little bit of housekeeping. Please do go to my website, Adrienne Berg, ADRIANEBERG.com. You can get my free newsletter. It's every single week. And this week, it's a lot of fun because I'm going to start with a little blog called Why Did I Keep My Couch? I have gone across country with almost everything like a snail on their back. Everything I've accumulated in the past 50 years. And boy, oh boy, if I don't go to heaven, it's because, you know, St. Peter's going to say, why did she keep the couch? I was really thinking of going into one of those all-night upholstery clinics, you know, to see if I can get this fixed as fast as possible. But for those of you who are moving or are deciding to downsize or have read Maria Kondo and is getting rid of everything you don't love, she's right. Just get rid of everything you don't love. And we have a lot of fun. And, of course, this has been the week, very seriously, that Geroscience is having most of their conferences. And I've spoken in France this week at the CVCT, which is Cardiology and Geroscience, last week in London on longevity and our GNP and what it can do for the world, and, of course, my United Nations work in aging. And all of this is free, all of our conferences and any place I speak. I always make sure that I negotiate a free entrance for you guys online so that you can hear it at your leisure. Lots of stuff going on in the world of longevity. You will be surprised. Now, but what's the good of living long if you're not happy? And that's why we have experts on happiness and the fact that it is an option, the happiness option. We have with us today Dr. Ulrich, not only a TED speaker, but one of the really most important influencers on the internet, about the internet, and her book, which I want everybody to know about, The Happiness Option, but even faster, you can go online to Ever Widening Circles. Now, Dr. Ulrich, in our little minute we had before, I said I really would like everyone to know what they'll find when they go to everwideningcircles.com. Go ahead.
Ever Widening Circles is a place where you can get your hope for the future totally refreshed every time without feeling any pressure from all the stuff that's weighing on us out there. We absolutely have no politics. We are a refreshing place to stop for people of any culture or generation. We are literally celebrating the things we all have in common. Things that we can all agree on are signs of progress and goodness. So it's article after article after article full of wonder and the arts, the sciences, insights. We curate the TED Talks that we've been talking about. We curate the very, very best TED Talks that have insights that can lift us all up. So every other day we publish an article there that's been meticulously researched, and we are keeping everybody under the tent, Adrienne.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, I belong to a little news, I guess you'd call it a newsletter. It's called Brain Pickings, which you may have heard of. You'd love Brain Pickings. I do, too.
I love it.
And that's on the arts. That's on the arts side, and it's very uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels to me like everybody will find it, not just the arts, in ever-widening circles. Now, you mentioned, because the real issue here is how do we make change? I do want to relate geroscience, gerontology, longevity to what you said. We all know how to live longer. We exercise, we eat right, we have life purpose, and we do good in the world. And you will live. Harvard, Yale, they have all the studies, anywhere from 2.5 years to 7 years longer, just because of your attitude. So, but we don't do it. Now, I think you feel that maybe it's similar to being happy. We know, but we don't do. So how do we make change?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I loved your comment about getting rid of everything you don't love.
Mm-hmm.
So that relates to what my TED Talk is about, what the book Happiness is an Option is about, and what the general thesis for Ever-Widening Circles is about. What we can do to see an entirely new and positive version of the world, because we got to keep in mind that the internet is serving us only a slice of reality. And a full picture of each other and the whole world would include, oh my gosh, countless people and projects making the world a better place. But we're not seeing them because the way the internet's built. So here's my practical advice that is like a drumbeat. Okay, there are four simple shifts we can make to start seeing a more complete picture of the world. And they're pretty easy to remember. Nobody needs to go run and grab a pen because we've actually created a website for the four shifts. It's even called four. You can use the number or spell it out, four shifts. And here they are. Yeah, we made it simple, simple.
I'm already, you know, like a 5-year-old. My four fingers went up. I'm not kidding. Here's the four.
Okay,
give me the first one. Go ahead.
Okay. The first one is pause. We can pause before we click on anything. In fact, that's the most powerful part of what we can do to have an internet that can truly be a powerful tool of goodness for humanity. We just have to pause before we click on anything because someone is counting every click we make. And we simply get more of what we click on. And back to our conversation earlier in this chat about the way our brains are developed, if we go to the internet on autopilot, we are actually going to, without even knowing it, click on negativity. And content creators are counting those clicks and creating more of it. So it's like a self-defeating cycle. So bottom line on this first shift is just pause before you click on anything. And remember that your click is a vote. Anything you engage with, and I tell people a click is a share, a like, a comment, a swipe, any way you give your intention on the internet. And so that comment you made about getting rid of everything you don't love, that relates to shift number two.
Yes.
Ignore more. We can ignore the negativity right into obscurity. if we just pause for a second before we engage anything in our online lives and we ask ourselves one question, do we need more of this? It's a super simple question. But if you ask that before you click on that picture of the blobfish or that really scary news headline or that very mean social media posting, if we say, do we need more of this? I'm going to say no and stop clicking on about 80% of what used to give us all the doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
So get rid of everything you don't love. Do not click on the things that do not make you feel elevated and good about your fellow man. So that brings me to shift number three. It's seek signs of goodness and progress. For now, the internet won't bring it to you. It's just not built to do that. It's built to trigger this fearful part of our brain. But once you start pausing and ignoring more, you're going to start to see this amazing world popping up. And that gets begins to be what rises to the top in your own personal view of the world through the internet and for all of us. And so
now before
shift number four.
Yeah, before we get to number four, because I want you to have all the time you need, want to end this segment with relating this to what my audience knows a lot about, and that is aging and longevity. What the doctor is talking about in terms of having a propensity for negativity is the amygdala hijack, what we call the amygdala hijack, where the minute something happens, you're going to take the negative side to protect yourself, which was good when the saber-toothed tiger was going to eat you. But now we have hundreds of little things that happen all day, and we're on high stress alert. So when I talk to my, and I'm not from, you all know me, I'm not a scientist, I'm a lawyer, but don't hold that against me. But I hang out with geroscientists. They will tell you that obesity and continuous stress is up there with smoking for cancer. And they will show you the clinical trials with regard to that. And what we're speaking about here is a lot more than simple happiness, which is hard enough to get. But it's also your very life, no joke. And when we come back, we're going to hear number four, and you'll be able to ask yourself, am I willing? Am I willing to take a pause? Am I willing to not be who I was before? For just a moment, as I interact with the internet, we'll be back in just a moment.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay. What you talk about is so powerful. It's amazing. Offline, I'm just going to ask you, you must be getting a lot of good responses with people telling you that they have changed and what you're offering them is changing their life. I would think that you get a lot of feedback on this.
It's been extraordinary, yeah. I'm getting interviews in news media with huge media markets, 7 to 20 million. Even newscasters, Adrian, are tired of the doom and gloom.
Right. Doesn't it amaze you that, frankly, that you're needed for something that you would think is so fundamental that we just want to be happy, leave me alone? It's amazing.
Well,
but
I'll tell you, I think the connection, you know that I've been a dentist for 30 years. That's where the doctor comes in.
Uh-huh. No, I actually didn't. And go ahead.
Yes. And, you know, there's no doctor in this world that deals with fear more than dentists, right?
Mm-hmm.
I loved your mention of the amygdala. I usually don't get that deep into the science, but that's what we have to understand. We have to understand ourselves before we can understand others and the internet in these bigger pictures. And I love that you're teaching people about that.
Well, I'll tell you, my show, I'll go very quickly, is about successful aging. But successful aging, to me, is not to be old. It's from in vitro, when people are even going to get their nutrition in kindergarten. So we talk about a lot of things from a gero point of view. A lot of it is happiness, but although, as I said, I'm not a gero scientist, I'm the executive director of the Catalyst Institute for the Delay and Prevention of Aging. So I know a ton of stuff about science. And my job and the reason they picked me was I'm able to translate very, very deep scientific jargon to what people understand.
And wow. That's why my audience knows about mm-hmm. stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So that just
well
not a surprise. As a little side note, later maybe we can talk about it. I'm on Vermont's largest agency on aging board, and I have a tremendous
wow.
A tremendous interest in what you just told me. So we should talk about that separately sometime.
I would love it. And we just by yeah. the way, this has nothing to do, but we had one of our favorite shows, believe it or not, was a geriatric dentist, a woman who went
that.
To your house. And she not only knew, she was able to treat dementia patients who it's almost impossible to deal with them. What a
yeah.
fascinating lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're ready to go. Wait, this is number section 3, right? Very, very good. Okay, go ahead, Stope. Be quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. So I do want to invite you again to join our newsletter. I write it myself. I write it every Sunday. It's absolutely and always free. And people wonder, well, if it's free, how good could it be? Well, let me give you an example of what we did this week. I was invited to the Milken Institute that had a very special program, 3 days this week, including today is the last day. And Dr. Fauci was speaking with us. Now, you know, you see him all the time. You know that he's the person who's really, let's say, the head of what's going on with vaccines. They also had the CEO of Pfizer speaking with us about their vaccine. But you knew about it, and you had a free link. Everything that I attend or speak at, you can access. And many of those things are honestly unavailable to people who are not in the field of geroscience, gerontology, successful aging, health, or whatever. You may or may not know that Dr. Zhao, who's the head of Victor Zhao, he's the head of the American Medical Academy, has a contest out for longevity changes so that people can live longer. And they're putting millions into that. Your doctor may not know and may not be up on what's going on. Well, you can inform them. So we have a trickle up of knowledge here about happy, healthy longevity. Speaking of happy, see what I did there, Dr. Ulrich? We're going to talk right now to my guest, who I'm really interviewing for myself, because this is so important to me. She not only has an Amazon number one bestseller called The Happiness Option, but she also has a protocol for you guys to expand your circle, ever-widening circle. So thank you for being with us. And you were ticking off 3 things we must do to change the way we use the internet so that we don't get a flood of negativity. But we were up to number 4. So I wanted you to start with that, if that's okay with you.
I'd love to. This is so exciting. I love your enthusiasm for this. Okay. So we've got the first 3. Pause, ignore more, and seek signs of goodness. And the 4th one is the most share the goodness you discover, because the internet is it's now built to amplify what we share. I think we can see that by how quickly negativity spreads like wildfire. Well, guess what? we have mm-hmm. all the power on the internet. We feel powerless there, but if we want an internet that is a tool for human progress, it's all going to be about what we share. So what I tell people is, when you see that social media posting about the neighbor kid who raised $400 for the Humane Society, don't just like it. This is a really key little insight about Facebook, is that when you like something, it only goes out to your very besties. But when you share it, it can start a wave all on its own. So that's a really empowering little switch up that we can do in our sharing lives, share signs of goodness and progress, and you will be a part of that wave that lifts it up.
So I'm going to get to the internet, the way the internet works, which is also part of what you teach people, and I don't think we understand mm-hmm. it. A couple of questions. Mm-hmm. I very rarely work with Facebook. My listeners mm-hmm. do. but I do LinkedIn and Twitter and so on. Is there a difference in the way you would share or the way you would spread good news, let's say, through different platforms?
I don't really think so. I think if we can keep this this conspiracy of goodness a really simple process where we say that is definitely a sign of goodness and progress for everyone. And then that is not. If we just make it and you just spend your life choosing to give your attention to goodness and progress, things that are signs of celebrating what we all can agree upon, the world is going to slowly change for you personally, and then you are going to influence the internet around you. And if you know, Adrian, there's this great statistic I'd love to share if you'd like it. It doesn't have to be all of us. The World Economic Forum commissioned the University of London and the University of Pennsylvania to do a study to find out exactly how many people it takes to make a notion go from the periphery of society to becoming just the way it is. And it turns out it's only 25%. If 25% of us learn about the four shifts and start pausing before we click on anything and ignoring 80% of what we used to click on, the internet will seemingly change overnight.
You know, it seems impossible to listen to that and say, sure, I have that much influence. But probably because of the internet, and I think this is your point very frequently, we have more influence than ever being the little guy. Because, as you say, what we say spreads. So, I mean, there's a lot going on here. First of all, the world of what we now call influencers. I met a young lady who is she heads Lululemon as a representative of Lululemon to her age group, right? How did she get this job? Big job. She just liked Lululemon. And she would go on her Twitter account all the time, a little kid, and say, I love my Lululemon. I put on this. I put on that. I exercise better. And guess who saw it? The CEO of Lululemon. My son was in politics, and he would tell me that if a congressman got six notes, just six, from his constituents saying the same thing, he would vote differently. Six people. Because you don't, that's how much influence is possible through the internet. Quite amazing. And you pointed out, and it's really, really very empowering to make that happen. Now let's go back to that study. I think that was a fascinating study. 25% of the population can, or whoever is involved with a particular issue, can make a change.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that. I think it's true. And some of the similar studies have shown that we simply get happier as we age. There's a big happiness, many happiness studies that we are happier when we age. And one of the blogs I've written is, Are You Too Young to Be Happy? So I'm going to ask you that question. You know who's listening to your TED Talks. You know who's going to ever-widening circles. What's your age group? Are we attracting younger people to have this better attitude, or are we still female over 55 when it comes to interesting stuff? Who's responding to your message?
We've been surprised, Adrian, and that 25% number has kept us like a compass going forward. It's across the board. There seems to be something at our core, some people more than others, that is refreshed by the knowledge that we can get along, that we can collaborate. I'll tell you something I've been really, really focusing on lately, which I think will resonate. I've been focusing on the word thoughtful. So when people go to social media and you see somebody just flew off the handle, type something, the first thing that came in their brain. And it's very often negative when we operate like that in the world. At least I'm as guilty of that as anybody. Nothing I say is that important right off. I got
hello. We know, right?
Right? So I'm really doubling down on celebrating the people who are willing to be thoughtful. And that can be from any generation. because there are truly people who can control their impulses and hang tight for a minute, listen to others carefully before they start telling themselves a story. And if we just simply use thoughtfulness as our gauge on the internet, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and we say to ourselves, wait a minute, is that thoughtful? Does it look like somebody took some time to really think that through? And we started rewarding those people, those examples, with our attention. Again, we have all the power on the internet. And, you know, right. I think that's true in our daily lives as it relates to loneliness or you know, how much we feel a part of society. So to your question, that's a big answer for who's our demographic. It turns out
everybody.
That people across the board, yes, yes.
So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the holiday season, the fact that you mentioned a big hot button in our field, which is loneliness. I'll tell you a little bit about that when it comes to COVID when I come back. But you also mentioned that number four was share. So I want to remind everybody that if you are a caregiver and it is tough for you, there's a wonderful nonprofit called Share the Care. It is through the internet. And what you're actually doing is building a coterie, a group of people who will help you share the care of your loved one in your neighborhood, even if it means going out and bringing food in or leaving it at their door during this COVID time. Share the care. That's a very thoughtful and wonderful thing to do. We're talking to a very thoughtful and wonderful individual, Dr. Ulrich, who is the author of Happiness is an Option and, of course, is getting you happy information, good information, thoughtful information, ever-widening circles. Okay, we will be back in just a moment.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, now this is our last segment, so I really want to make sure that we don't end without you having said something that you would like to.
Adrian,
or are we
do you
covering
think,
what you would like?
Yeah, do you think it's important for people to be able to think about the stories we're telling ourselves?
Yes.
Because I do get into
that
really a lot. Yeah, I mean, I think that I talk about it in terms of minding the gap. You've been in Europe Times. You know that. You've seen that sign 1,000 times
right.
on platforms mm-hmm. and subways. It says mind
you
the
gap.
You
have it in New York, too. You have it in New York.
Okay.
In Manhattan, too.
I've lived in Europe, too, and been over the world. And I keep seeing that sign mm-hmm. and saying, isn't that at the core of most of our problems with each other? Is that there's a gap
right.
between what we know and what we fill in with the stories we're telling ourselves about each other. And
exactly.
and that goes to the loneliness question, and that because my thoughts about loneliness are pretty deep now that I've been on that AgeWell board, is that I
mm-hmm.
think it's the fact that we are craving the company of thoughtful others, and you can be lonely even if you are surrounded by people, if you don't get
right.
that thoughtfulness part in your interactions.
Okay. We definitely want to talk about that, and I will ask you to mention the AgeWell board. Is that all right? Because
okay,
it makes
sure.
such a big connection here.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, very
yeah,
good.
Sure, absolutely.
We are ready. And we're ready, Stu.
Yes.
Yeah, last segment, okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. By the way, one of the other things that we speak about a lot on this show is finance. It is very important that it's actually one of the 7 most important things about successful aging, and that is not so much that you're rich, but that you have security, financial security. And the honest reason for that is it leads to unhappiness when you can't pay your bills. But it also hampers you from being a contributor to the world. If you have to worry about your finances and if you have to perhaps work at jobs you don't want to take because of those finances as you're aging, it's not a fun sight. So I'm working with the United Nations in the area of aging equality. And what that used to mean was that everybody should have good health care as they age and they have chronic diseases to take good care of them. Well, that's not what it means anymore. Now it means equality in longevity, that we should not only be healthy, that almost goes without saying, but we should also be contributory in the world and have places where we can make contributions that respect what we know and not put us, what they used to say, out to pasture. So if you're interested in any of these things in your own life, for a loved one that you have that's older that you think is declining or not thriving, you must become a subscriber to our newsletter. It's always free, and it's called, every week I write, Dear Bolds, because you are Generation Bold. All right, so we're going back to our guest, and you know how the show works. We talk to the guest for a minute or two in between every single segment. You know this by now. And Dr. Ulrich, who wrote Happiness is an Option, and we're sending you to her website. We'll give it to you one more time in a moment. Was very thoughtful. She talked about being thoughtful and praising people who are thoughtful and listening more to people who are thoughtful. But what I didn't know was that she's very involved in aging herself, in the issue of, she's on the Age Well Committee in her area. And loneliness is part of what they're trying to ameliorate and stop. So tell us about that, because it was new to me, and I think it really is worth my audience understanding.
Yeah. Adrian, I've been a dentist all my life, and I come into contact with people of all ranges, but I've been a dentist now for 3 decades. So a lot of people that I met when I was 50, when they were 50, are now 80. And Of course, as I have these deep, loving, long relationships with people, I got more and more concerned about what aging looks like. And here in Vermont, of course, in most of the places in the United States, we have wonderful Meals on Wheels. Well, that organization, or the organization of that strategy to help people, comes in Vermont from Vermont's largest agency on aging called the Age Well. It's called Age Well, and I'm on their board for quite some time. And that has given me a wonderful outlet for my curiosity and my passions for my patient relationships that I see now getting challenged by aging. And of course, loneliness is key. In fact, I sometimes think that loneliness may be the number one health problem in the United States, and that may be across all generations.
Well, that is certainly across younger generations and teenagers. The suicides are most prevalent in two groups, men over the age of 74 and teenagers, and probably for the same reason. Loneliness and the inability to make a feeling that they're important in society.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally see that in my patient interactions every day in the office. So here's one of the things that I think is another good practical tip for anybody listening who wants to help with this process or find help for this process. That happens to us naturally in society and now is heightened by the pandemic, this loneliness problem. I started to observe, my experience tells me that loneliness is the craving of the company for a thoughtful other.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really thought about that. So the pandemic has taught us that you can be surrounded. You could work in a hospital now with 1,000 coworkers, but if you're working under constant conditions of panic and stress and urgency, you never have those deep, thoughtful conversations with people who are probably also as lonely as you are. And so I'm really looking at ways and practical things that we can do to find the company of thoughtful others. In fact, you can be in quarantine right now with a house full of people, but if everyone's struggling, then it's hard for anyone to be thoughtful. And again, you're with others, but you're still lonely.
I have one thing to contribute to that as you're thinking about this, because I know you really want to get at the bones of why people feel lonely so you can help them. Mm-hmm. I've never been lonely. I've said this before on the show. I've never been lonely. In fact, one of my best
my favorite books is called Solitude. And I've been alone a lot because I'm an only child. And so I needed to have some really good conversation. So I made some good conversation. I knew who else is a better companion to me than me? But only children are like that a lot. They can be by themselves and never be lonely. Most people who are by themselves think that there's something wrong with them, that they're being rejected because they don't have a companion. And that is very insidious. They don't have self-confidence. They feel everybody else has a companion, I don't. Well, as you deal with older women, most older women eventually will not have a companion because we do outlive men still by 7 years. So I'm looking at that and the indictment that we give ourselves because we don't have a companion. That's got to stop. It really does. But and that's when we get to COVID and most issues. I'll tell you, this is very sad, but I'm going to tell you. Dr. Nir Barzilai, who is the head of the centenarian study at Albert Einstein, none of his patients over the age of 100 died because of COVID. One died because she stopped eating because of loneliness, because of COVID. So that's how insidious this is, and important work that you're doing about being thoughtful about it. I think that's that's at any and every age. I think that's so important. Now, when you do this, when you look at, say, the goodness that you express, the conspiracy of goodness that you want everybody to recognize and be part of, say, in a TED Talk, I'm sure you're connecting that with people being connected with each other. So this is all one piece. But how do you express it so that people can start the four shifts? What do you think has been your most successful message in getting people to make real changes?
To pay attention to the stories we're telling ourselves. You know, I've really noted, since I started doing ever-widening circles, I mean, this whole effort began after I had the loneliest email ever from a 19-year-old boy from a fox that had been a patient of mine for years. And he thought of me when he was at his loneliest, and wrote me to ask if the world was as bad as it looked to him. And he probably did that because I try and find a way of finding something to celebrate in every single patient's lives when they're in. How that relates to loneliness situation in ever-widening circles is we've got to take great care not to fill in the gaps of our knowledge with stories of negativity that we're telling ourselves. And that's where a place like Ever-Widening Circles can start filling in the gaps of our knowledge. If we just go to the breaking news or social media, we're going to come away with a level of hopelessness. about it. And then when we don't know something, we're going to tell ourselves a story based on that experience we just had. Whereas if you have something like ever-widening circles in your life every day, just go to an article as if it's medicine and learn about something you never dreamed could bring you joy. I tell people to go ahead, dive into the subject areas because there's categories that you love, but never forget to just hit the surprise me button on the website and dive into something that you may never have dreamed would light up your life. And that's the way we keep going.
It's also the way we keep our brain active. And I'm, as always, with all my fabulous guests, I'm so sorry we're at the end of our segment. But here's the message. It's really quite simple to say, but not so simple to do. And that is to understand that what you focus on expands. This is just what the doctor told us in the first segment. And if you focus on what's negative, it will expand. Of course it will. If you focus on what's positive, it will expand. Of course it will. And just as you know, whatever you're good at, if you don't believe me, think about something you're good at. You probably do it all the time. Think of something you don't know anything about. You probably don't do it at all. Very simple. And that's the same thing about being happy and letting in positive messages. So I thank you so much. This has been way beyond my expectation for our time together. It's wonderful.
Oh, it was a delight for me too. I think we've got a lot in common.
I absolutely do. And I'm going to end my show by saying to everybody, as I always do, get out there, kids, even if you're inside, and make it happen.
That went so fast. Wow.
I know.
oh, I know. Amazing. Stuart says Jesse's back. Is Jesse there?
Hello, hello.
Hi, did you have a good time?
Hi.
Well, were
I
you
did,
on the internet?
I did. I,
surfing the internet. yeah. Okay.
yeah, and I just saw the TED Talk, too. Congratulations, Dr. Ulrich. That's fantastic. I just watched it, commented, liked it.
Great. It is a lovely message for our time. I feel like it was a gift. It was a gift to me from somewhere I don't know.
I have to tell you something though. This has nothing to do with the show. Your Bernie Sanders is on the Committee on Aging, you know, in Congress, and what his big deal is dentistry. I don't know if you've ever tapped him for any help there.
Oh yes. In dentistry, he's a real connectable force in Vermont. I've spoken to him before. You can run into him in the line at Barnes and Noble. He's just a regular guy in Vermont. Yeah.
We're gonna hit him. We're hitting him. Let me tell you how we're hitting him, and we could talk another time about how to do this. We want to create, we meaning the Catalyst Institute. I'm the executive director. We want to create something. We have created something called Project HealthSpan, which basically informs Congress and regulators about longevity and about the delay in prevention of age-related diseases. But one of the issues, of course, is that Medicare doesn't cover prevention. It covers cure and chronic maintenance and so on.
Yeah.
But dentistry isn't covered, as you well know from all your years in practice.
Yeah.
So it's a big preventative, though, of death. Good dentistry.
Oh,
I don't have to tell you.
It's
you'll
huge.
Tell me. Yeah, sepsis and all that. And this is what Bernie is upset about. So it would be great if Medicare could cover dentistry. Just saying.
It would be life-saving, for sure.
I know. 75% of all your dentistry is out of pocket. Big problem. Big problem everywhere.
I tell you, though, Adrian, it's a mindset about dentistry and healthcare. Like, for instance, they shut our office down for 10 weeks, the same as they did tattoo artists. They threw us in the same category in Vermont at the beginning of COVID as tattoo artists and hairdressers. Yep.
Wow.
It was illegal for us to see people.
You know,
that's
I'll tell
right.
you, so you're non-essential, but the liquor stores were open. No, I'm serious. The liquor stores were open. But now I happen to agree with that, but that's a different story. That's my personal preference. My tooth hurts. Give me a shot, but not if Novocaine. So, but you make this. You really bring up something. I'll conclude with this because I know we're going to talk more. I did really go across country for 12 days, come to California, and then living and still living in timeshares while my place is being fixed. So my kids won't see me because of COVID, because they're very meticulous. So I've had already 4 COVID tests, so I could say hello to my kids. All right. And I'm very nervous about it. And guess what happened? I got a tooth abscess, and I had to see a dentist. So I got a dentist before I had a doctor, and more importantly, before I had my Botox people. So you can imagine how important a dentist was to me. So
did you find a good one,
and
a nice one?
I found a fabulous one. I was so lucky.
Yay.
But he told me, I got in there, and he said, you have to have your tooth pulled. It was a wisdom tooth. And I was like a little wreck, like 3 years old. And I was worried about COVID. I was worried about the tooth. I was worried that I'd be black and blue and they would see that I went to a dentist because like I'm hiding from my children. So they should know that I live a life because they want me to be in a cave until. So but he pulled it and it was no problem at all. As a dentist, you will not like this part of the story. He gave me painkillers. I didn't take any, and I didn't need it. I get a call from him 3-4 days later. Boy, you must be, he's very caring. You must be in terrible pain. Why? You got your prescription 3 times. I never did it. Somebody was stealing the prescription and getting painkillers. That is how outrageous this medicine. Isn't that amazing? I said, doctor, I didn't even take the first pill. I took a half an Advil. And he was very shaken, I will say, that somebody's into his prescription. Yeah. Tough, right?
Yeah. It would have to be. We had a patient once steal a pad of prescriptions when the assistant left the room for just an instant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to go unpack for the next week, really seriously. I'm in a timeshare, and we're unpacking, having some happy fun, only because of you. I was actually miserable before I had my conversation with you.
Well, I tell you, Adrian, I would love to come back and tell some stories from the Conspiracy of Goodness for your audience.
I'd love it. I'd love it, and we will do
it. Telling you, they limited me to 12 minutes on the TED Talk, and I had to cut out about 8 minutes worth of amazing stories of people doing incredible things in the world. And there's nothing more I love than telling, and they're ordinary people. It's stories from ordinary people to great heroes.
Well, you know what? I could maybe do better than that. The Institute is very, very interesting. You should look at it, but. You should look at MetaBesity.
Okay.
We do a conference. We had 1,000 people at our conference in October.
Wow.
Virtual, of course.
Okay.
And 80 speakers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the panels is a loneliness panel for 2021. So there is one possibility. The other is, we need fundraising. We're doing fundraising. And one way we want to do it is webcasts and webinars. And loneliness is one of those topics. Now, we're very geroscience. You'll see. The big name is in geroscience. But
I dig it.
But they love this because they understand that we're very holistic human beings. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked me to be their executive director. So I want to put together a webcast. I'm doing something now on exercise. And it would be nice to get you together to tell the stories along with a very wonderful person. You may know her. Her last name is Rose. Lucy Rose.
Okay.
She does something called the Loneliness Project.
I've heard. We've written an article about them.
Oh, great, great.
I'm
She's been a
positive.
Speaker twice.
We've written an article.
Yeah. Okay, Lucy Rose, and then there's a rabbi, and he's in London, and he wrote The Positivity Bias.
Okay.
And that might be, that's an interesting, could be a nice panel. I'm making this up, but I'm thinking about this.
Yes, that would be so good.
Why not?
I have done a lot of personal research on loneliness, and I just kept trying to work some of that into our conversation today, because there's some really astonishing things about loneliness and sleep and the stories we're telling ourselves and all how this all is like a downward
and
spiral.
And the internet. Look, the internet, that's the dilemma. The networks thing is we don't talk to each other, you know. So
It's crazy. And I have a really nice feel about how we cope with the negative news, too, that we never got to. So I'm ready.
Well, there's a lot to say, and we'll talk more. If you don't hear from me for a while, it's just because the next week I'm really spending my time reorganizing my stuff and getting it to a house. I mean, I've been on the road like a nomadic, you know, since Halloween. It's a long time.
So, Adrian,
so we'll
I'll leave you with one.
Okay.
I'll leave you with one other connection. I would care deeply about this topic no matter what because because of the patient story I told you about how long my patients went from age 50 to 80. But my own mother is just beginning that spiral into memory care facilities and those sort of things. And I tell you, if forever she's escaped near death twice now. And if somebody ever asked me why my mom died, because she's not going to live another year like this, I'm going to say she died of COVID, loneliness.
Right.
Because we
right,
can't see her.
Right.
We can't help her. We can't even let her know that there's a world of things.
Well, wait,
so I have a personal stake in this too.
Right. Wait, how old is she?
She's 84.
Right. And does she have a diagnosis? Does she have a dementia diagnosis, or is this being precipitated by? Yeah.
Yeah. So my dad was a physician, and all my life one of those last of the Mohican doctors, and
right.
he took care of her very well until he died. She has had multiple back surgeries all through her life, and now they're just floating pieces. So she's been on some really heavy-duty pain medicines for about 20 years.
Right.
And that is, when he died 20 years ago, the loneliness and the pain meds made a nasty combination. And so she's kind of been in the downward spiral for years, but a wonderful woman who has an incredible life story. So I look at my mom
right.
and think she's the very reason I'm here, and her courage and her childhood
right.
resilience. And at the same time, there's no dignity in how she's living now.
Right. Understood.
And we got to change that. We got to change
yeah.
that.
No, that's for sure. I should also, I don't know if this is going to help. There's two groups. One is called CU Link, which I actually own a part of that company. It's a company, go to SEEYOULINK. But it's computing. It's computing for people who with dementia and low vision and many other issues are controlled by their loved ones. In other words, you control her screen. You control that if she can't use it herself. And another
the group. That's lovely.
Yes,
see that's
you,
Link. Exactly the group I'm concerned about. Is the people that aren't tech savvy enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's CU Link. That is C S E E Y O U L I N K.
Wow.
And
okay.
One out of Ireland, which is coming into New York this week, and I'm helping them start up. They're called Always With You, and that's
okay.
an app where you can monitor your mom. Always With You. You'd know her blood pressure. You'd know a lot about her, and you could also download photos and connect. So there's a lot of going on with AI. You know, and stuff like that.
Great.
All right. This is great, and I appreciate it. And Stuart is already busy posting everything up. Okay?
Okay. Well, we'll talk
Thank
again.
You.
Have a great, great, great day.
Right. You
Take
too.
Care,
bye. Bye-bye. Bye, Jess.